And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keys are here with you on this Thursday morning. Been a heck of a night in the Middle Tennessee area. There have been tornado warnings, tornadoes, a lot of rain, storm lines still going. And Joe, right now, the next concern is some flooding that's happening here moving forward. I know that Richland Creek in the Belle Meade area, our friends at Nash Severe Weather put this out a few minutes ago, that Richland Creek near Belle Meade rapidly rising past flood stage, and we're still going to get a lot of rain for the remainder of today and potentially some rain for the rest of this week as well. So a lot of concerns with the storms at the moment. Rex, what are we doing this morning? What's going on?
Yeah, no doubt. Obviously be safe out there. We've been dodging tornadoes over here. Had a couple, sirens and, okay, maybe got to get to the safe place and, okay, go back to bed. Now school's been canceled. I know for Williamson County, I don't know about other counties.
But I know Sumner's out. I know that Robertson, last I looked, was opening a couple hours late, and I believe Davidson is now closed as well.
There you go. So, and be careful. I think there's also, like you said, you get the flooding, but also I think there are definitely more storms that could materialize. It just seems like it's line after line of this stuff, and here and there, some tornadoes are popping up. I saw some footage of like one in Arkansas.
Oh yeah.
That was insane. But be careful out there. Already had the old flight to San Antonio has gone from 2 p.m. to 11 p.m. now.
Oh,
so
golly.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people are just flat out having stuff canceled, period, today. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the best, I've been watching, obviously, throughout the night, my area actually didn't really get a whole lot of huge storms last night, but we did get a lot of rain. But I've been watching, coverage throughout the night. By the way, quick shout out to Brandon Aldrich here, who is one of our part-timers that worked yesterday. It was supposed to work till midnight last night here at the station and then stayed all the way overnight providing weather coverage. So shout out to Brandon Aldrich for pulling the all-nighter here.
Good job, Brandon.
Best I can tell, Joe, obviously you've had the tornado-warned storms that have come through, and at the moment, based on the radar I'm looking at right now on News Channel 5 and Fox 17's put one up as well, that the tornado warnings in our state right now have expired, so there's not really an active tornado warning issued for our state right now. There is one just over the line in Kentucky, near Albany, Kentucky, so make sure if you've got friends, loved ones in that area that they're aware there. But basically what's happened, Joe, is you had the line of thunderstorms come in, obviously the tornado warnings that came with it, and then at some point overnight, like, the line just like parked, it just stopped, and that's where the rain has all been kind of dumped down. And that's part of the concern moving forward here, is what that's going to look like. Some people, I heard some coverage on the way in talking about, like, is it going to be like the 2010 flood? For those of you who are around in the 2010 flood, you know what that was like. I'm not educated enough to know if it's going to be anything like that. I do know we have flash flooding and actual flooding warnings throughout the entire mid-state here. So just make sure if you have to get out today that you're paying attention to where water spots could be. No destination is worth you driving through water and potentially having to be rescued out there. So just make sure you're paying attention and being cognizant of what's going on out there today with the weather.
Yeah. If you got any low-lying, roads that you normally, because I know from being on the way in, there's some low-lying that I'm sure they're really bad. I know also part of the reason the cancellations happened here for school is that there's branches and stuff on some roads in this county. So
yeah,
that's another thing to watch out for and only go out there if you have to.
Yeah, so we're going to do our best throughout our show today and throughout the day here on the station to keep you updated as best we can on the weather. As I said, right now, there does not appear to be a tornado warning active in our state. There is one just over the state line into Kentucky near Albany, Kentucky, and we will keep you updated as best as possible should any more weather developments take place. Obviously, as we said, flooding a concern today, so just make sure that you're aware out there if you have to be out and about today. We do have a lot to get into on the show today. We're going to pick up a Predators conversation that we had yesterday about Andrew Brunette and his job status moving forward. We'll do that in the 7 o'clock hour. We will also get to Predators assistant coach Derek McKenzie, scheduled to join us at 7:30. And we got a lot coming on the NFL draft front today as well. Going to take a look at some edge rushers that could be of interest to the Titans, and we'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 6:45. Joe, I want to start with a piece that came out at The Athletic. A friend of the show, Mike Sando, put this out there, and it's a really interesting piece here where basically he talks to some NFL executives, and they go right through the entire AFC on free agent decisions that teams have made. And kind of the headliner here is about the Bengals and obviously the huge moves that they've made so far with Ja'Marr Chase and with T. Higgins, and we'll see what ends up happening with Trey Hendrickson and Cincinnati. But you get down to Tennessee, and it was not necessarily as active as they were last year in free agency, but we'll see what the impact ends up being. Obviously, the headliner in free agency for the Titans, Joe, was Dan Moore, signing him with a big contract at left tackle, bringing him in and revamping that offensive line. J.C. Latham going over to the right. You brought in Kevin Zeitler from Detroit as well. So one NFL executive had very interesting things to say about Dan Moore, the new Titans left tackle. This was from an anonymous executive in the NFL. Quote, "Would you rather play with Dan Moore or against him? I'm not sure. Same with the guy that KC got," talked about Jalen Moore. "You can pay these guys starter money, but it doesn't mean that they're quality starters. You never want to address a need and still have a need." This is what an anonymous executive said about Dan Moore as the newest left tackle signing for the Tennessee Titans. So you've got not necessarily a ringing endorsement there of Dan Moore and the signing by the Titans. He then there's another executive that then goes to comment on the offensive line that says, you know, Sando in this piece talks about the revamped offensive line with Zeitler coming in, Skoronski in year three, Latham moving to right tackle. And this executive says, quote, "Which left to right is not terrible. You'd love to be getting Tunsil instead, but Tennessee not a position where they can be giving up the draft capital that is required on that front." So that is the executive's thoughts on the job that the Titans have done at revamping their offensive line. So, Joe, specifically with Dan Moore, you got one NFL executive saying, well, you can pay him starter money. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's a quality starter. And would you rather play with Dan Moore or against him? I'm not so sure. So what do you make of those comments by an anonymous NFL executive on Dan Moore?
Yeah, they're not the not the most favorable comments, that's for sure. You know, these things, obviously, I love these things. I love these things that Sando does. They're fascinating. You get some, obviously, some very frank comments. You know, sometimes it's like, man, I hope this isn't like, you know, a personnel or, you know, or an executive who has a particular axe to grind with either like the guy or the franchise, the rival GM of the franchise. You know what I mean? It's like I don't want like to hear like the Colts. And again, I like the Colts should be, and I don't know, you know, who Sando talks to, what he does, you know, how he thinks of these things. But, you know, like if you have division rivals, that's someone who I wouldn't want to ask something like that. You know what I mean? Because right. It's like, you know, but then again, I mean, throughout this league, there's, you know, rivalries and things like that. And I think for the most part, you're just look what though everything said there. I mean, it kind of matches up with performance, right? It matches up with the downside of the performance. You can spin Moore's play if you want to. And, you know, I've heard it spun pretty well in the last few weeks in terms of what he's done and what he hasn't done. But, you know, when it comes down to it, he has not been good. He's been pretty bad. They drafted to replace him. He got better last year. Yeah, like that's one of those things that you read that as a Titans fan, and you can't feel great about the move. I still also think that, it's still going to be, I think, an improvement because of shoring up, we think, right tackle. I think right tackle, and probably not as disastrous, as it's been at left tackle. So I know that's like a ringing endorsement, but yeah, it's another reminder like that this was a move that may have been the best possible move, but that doesn't mean it was a great move.
Well, my first reaction when I saw this quote from this anonymous executive was, man, it sounds a lot like what Rex Rhodes said in the immediate aftermath of the Titans signing Dan Moore. Does not seem to be overly excited about Dan Moore coming in. I mean, that line is pretty awesome. Would you rather play with Dan Moore or against him? I'm not so sure.
Did I say that?
No, you didn't say it exactly that way, but you kind of did say the gist of that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. He's struggled again. He did go up against some of the best pass rushers that you can possibly go up against. So, that's worth your money. And he did improve. Okay,
Yeah.
so trying to put a happy face on it now that people are just absolutely annihilated. Whenever like these things come up, I always think back to like the Caleb Farley pick, because I remember Sando, did one of these after that. I don't remember the exact quote, but if you know what I'm talking about, it was like, yeah, like we absolutely would never ever have considered it. It was
Yeah.
something like
There was
the
an
medical was atrocious or something like that. It's
Yeah,
like,
like
oh,
I think that was the quote, was the medical was atrocious.
yeah. And it's just like, oh boy. So yeah, hopefully Titans fans, this one, these execs do not turn out to be as right about a Titans move as those did 4 years ago.
So we'll take your reaction to that. An executive in the NFL, not necessarily excited for the Titans about the signing of Dan Moore to play left tackle. Your thoughts on that? Plus, another executive on the Titans and Cam Ward at number one overall that we'll get to coming up in the next segment as well. Again, we're going to keep you updated as best we can through the weather all day long. Right now, at the moment, no active tornado warnings in our state. There is one right over the state line in Kentucky near Albany, Kentucky. And again, some flash flooding concern and flooding concern out there today. So make sure if you're having to get out this morning that you're extra cautious of what's going on with the weather and particularly the roadways out there. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. So we've brought up this piece from Mike Sando at The Athletic, where he goes through the free agency periods by every AFC team and some executives comment on those decisions made by teams. For the Titans, one executive referring to Dan Moore, they're signing at left tackle, says, quote, "Would you rather play with Dan Moore or against him? I'm not sure. You can pay these guys starter money, but it doesn't mean they're quality starters. You never want to address a need and still have a need." So obviously at least one executive not a huge fan of what the Titans have done at left tackle here. Joe, another interesting comment from an executive in this piece by Sando as it relates to the Titans and the number one overall pick says, quote, "There's no way they're not picking Cam Ward. They're trying to drum up an extraordinary deal, but no one's going to give them that. They will take Cam Ward unless someone gives them something stupid." This from another executive around the league. So what do you make of that? Particularly, they're trying to drum up an extraordinary deal and no one's going to give them that. And I guess my other question is this. If there's no one around the league willing to give you an extraordinary deal for Cam Ward, which again, based on conversations we've had on this show, is not all that surprising, how concerning should that be if you're a Titans fan about your willingness to select Cam Ward at number one overall?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that quote from that executive, I couldn't have said it better. I think that's a perfect way to describe the situation. That is exactly it. You know, it's we keep hearing. I keep hearing Schefter and Rappaport saying, "Oh, the Titans haven't decided. They're not, you know, they're hoping someone gives them something stupid." That's exactly right. And yeah, they're not going to get it. I don't think they're going to get that. Yeah, again, I'll keep the door cracked open in my mind on the idea that as the time leads into the draft, someone talks themselves into Cam Ward. He is absolutely who we have to have. It's worth it. Let's spend this draft capital and go get him. This is the year. Who knows next year? Who knows where we'll be? We could do it right now. It's possible, but it's very, very unlikely. It's like, again, 99%, whatever. Where am I at last? 99.1, 98.7, whatever. It's around there that they're going
to pick
Cam
Ward. I think
you
moved down. I think PK talked you into moving down to like 98.9 or something like
98,
that.
98.9. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, of course. So if you're a Titans fan who has been screaming about Cam Ward all along, well, stick to your guns. You're going to get your way. But you also do need to look at this and kind of realize, I mean, you know, it's going to be sold as absolutely he was our guy. We, you know, whatever. We weren't, well, why would we tell you that? We knew all along, but we're not going to say that. But that's not what it is. It's you know, again, if you are willing to do what they're willing to do, then you aren't completely sold on the player.
Going back to the Dan Moore stuff, Trevor texting in says, "Well, I guess we'll see how Arden Key fares against Dan Moore in camp. If he's cooking, then whoever's at quarterback is screwed." Like, it really is a good litmus test. Like, if Arden Key is just giving it to Dan Moore in training camp, that may tell us something about what Dan Moore is going to look like. Certainly told us what Andre Dillard was going to look like at left tackle.
Yeah. Arden Key is he's your barometer. He's your pass pro barometer, you know. So because we know what Arden Key is. We know
we do.
we know yeah, we know what he is now. So
in
that's a good
addition to
point.
being a huge fan of Paul Kuharsk, Arden Key, we know what he is as a pass rusher.
Paul Kuharsk's hostage. Yes, Arden Key. No, that's a good reason to keep him around. You keep him around so that you can judge your next left tackle and see if you have anything at all.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, the exec talking about Cam Ward, you know, he ends the quote by saying they're going to take Cam Ward unless somebody gives them something stupid. Is that deal coming? It's hard for me to imagine that based on, I guess, the general view of what this quarterback class seems to be. It's hard to imagine that. Now, again, all it takes is one. Like, the Giants continue to be really interesting to me because I understand they've signed Wilson and Jameis. So I guess you've at least, if you're them, created a situation where you don't have to go get a quarterback. But I also look at their employment situation right now with their head coach and their general manager, and I say, all right, well, you've got Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston as your quarterback room. That's not necessarily inspiring in terms of what you're going to be able to pull off. Oh, by the way, in a division that also has the Washington Commanders with Jaden Daniels and the reigning Super Bowl champions in the Philadelphia Eagles. So you're already behind the eight ball in your division anyway, and now you've got Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston as your quarterback. Like, so what is it going to take if you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane for you to save your job this year? Like, are you going to have to make the playoffs with Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston? Because that seems like a tall task to me.
It's a great question. It can't be a great feeling there, you know, with Brian Daboll and those guys. It feels totally like a lame duck year, except that the one way that maybe you could not make it a lame duck year is to bring in that new QB and show hope for the future and show some kind of progress and not have to have this shockingly good season to stay employed. I don't see how it happens for those guys if they're going with the QB room they have now. So, yeah, I think there's got to be discussion, certainly among the people who, you know, who don't own the team, who
Right.
are employed, who are like, I mean, but it's also, I don't know. I mean, again, we've talked it through, like with Charles. I get it. They haven't paid a ton, so you could still do something. I still find it a bit strange the way they went about things, signing both of those guys, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're out on this.
Well, and this is also like where, like, if I'm John Mara, who's the owner of the Giants, maybe this is just the paranoid person in me, but I'd be like, well, let's say that Brian Daboll, Joe Shane approach you is like, yeah, we really want to make an aggressive push to go up in Cam Ward. My first response, if I'm Mara, would be, all right, well, like, do you actually believe in him, or are you trying to like take some last ditch effort to save your job here? And you know the rookie quarterback may be the only way to do that. Like, so I mean that's also the interesting situation that you create for yourself when everybody knows that your general manager and your coach are on thin ice when you come out a few minutes ago, or when you come out a few weeks ago, and you're like, yeah, we better start to see some results soon because I'm getting impatient.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean it's just weird. I mean, really, like I was really surprised that both of them, you figured at least one or the other was gonna be gone after last year. So, it's a very strange situation. Can't be a comfortable situation. And yeah, I just don't see how. I don't see how what they have right now is gonna move the needle at all. Now, granted, there are franchises in this league. We talk about the Colts all the time, where people stay employed against all odds and against all logic.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what the Giants are gonna be. But yeah, if you're the Titans, you'd love to think that there's a growing sense of urgency and a growing sense of of excitement about Cam Ward, to where they would again. Maybe you don't hope that. I don't know. I mean, I guess if you're the Titans, you probably have to be accepting of the fact that, like, you're probably not going to get this deal, so you better get excited about Cam Ward.
Yeah.
So maybe they're past the point of like hoping and tr or tr yeah, like this executive said, trying to drum up interest. You still keep the door open, but at some point, I guess it's like the stages of, first pick grief. You get to acceptance.
So we played the clip yesterday from Russini about how, if you're Cam Ward and you're trying to evaluate what the Titans are doing here. She's heard from people in the building that want to move out of the pick. Now, who are those people? What exactly is the role that they play? I don't know. We talked about that yesterday. It is an interesting point here from Ed. He says on the text line, wondering if reports that not everyone in the Titans front office are convinced on Ward has to do with having the largest front office in the history of mankind. It's from Ed on the text line. It's like, well, they do have a lot of people in that front office.
No, it's a great point, because it really is. It does feel, because of the experience of the two guys they brought. Like when Rand Carthon got here, okay, he brought in Chad Brinker. So it's kind of like an up and coming guy from Green Bay. Give him a shot. You can elevate. You've got the whatever those things, you've got the models and all this stuff. But in this case, you're talking about people who have done it at kind of a high level, kind of being recycled a little bit, and you've got Brinker. I mean, it is weird. I've never seen an NFL situation quite like this, with everything that's happened with Brinker. But then also now you bring in Borgonzi, and then you bring in those two guys,
Yeah.
and you have, the coach. It's the whole thing is very strange. It's hard for me to believe, when you think about that experience. And you think about the different opinions and all that, that it's just going to be this, like everybody all on the same page all the time,
Kumbaya,
right?
yeah.
Yeah. And again, I'm not saying like they're all fighting, but I agree with that. It's like there's a lot of people there who've won, have contacts around the league, have been doing this a long time, and two, probably have different opinions. So it really isn't surprising that one or two or who, however many people might be like, yeah, actually trading the pick would be better, I mean, you can look at this situation objectively from the outside and say, yeah, trading the pick would be better.
So the Titans have a glaring need on the defensive side of the ball, and frankly, there are some options that I think could be there in the draft that excite me if I'm a Titans fan. We'll get into that coming up next and take a look at who some targets could be for the Titans coming up in maybe the second round of the NFL draft, or if there's a trade back. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. We will have the best and worst things in sports coming up here in about 10 minutes. So we'll go ahead and take your best things, your worst things from this week in the world of sports. Joe, we're going to get into the edge rushers here. And obviously, edge rusher, a huge need for the Titans on the defensive side of the ball. You know, we've talked for a long time in the early part of the draft process of just go take Abdul Carter. Get Abdul Carter with your number one overall pick or trade back and try to find a way to pick up Abdul Carter. I guess that is potentially still an option for the Titans. We'll see. Now, Abdul Carter has the shoulder stuff going on, and now he's didn't work out at his pro day. And there's the concern about the foot moving forward. So the picture on Abdul Carter has become a little bit more complicated as the draft process has gone along here. But clearly, if he's healthy and if he's a full go, he is the best edge rushing prospect in this draft by far. But Joe, as I've said for a few months now, I think it's pretty deep at edge rusher. Like, there are a lot of guys at edge rusher in this draft class that I feel like could end up being pretty good players in the NFL. So, Joe, as it relates to the Titans, you know, I brought up Landon Jackson out of Arkansas. I brought up Kyle Kennard out of South Carolina. You know, there's obviously the two Ohio State edge rushers, although Jack Sawyer in particular has started to kind of fall down the board a little bit based on some of the testing that he's done. But either way, like, I think the Titans are going to get, let's say they stick where they are and they pick at number one and their next pick's at number 35. Like, I have no doubt, Joe, that pick number 35 is going to come around and the Titans are going to have some intriguing options available to them as far as edge rusher is concerned at 35. And you know, we talked about receiver earlier this week, too. That's certainly going to have to be in consideration. But are there any guys in particular that kind of stand out to you that you'd like to see the Titans target on the edge rushing front? First mute of the day for Rex Road.
Well, it has a weird thing too, where now it gives you like the I don't like that. It gives you a separate, you are muted, unmute. I like to just be able to go right to the thing and just hit mute.
Yeah, quit changing things, Zoom.
Yeah, please. Come on. It's hard enough. Yeah. If they stick at 35, well, first of all, obviously there is this, I still find it amazing that this could happen, but you know, if James Pierce Jr. falls to 35, look, I just think that's too much talent. Again, based on the stuff that you hear, it's not the greatest, but it's not like, to me, you know, career threatening, or you know, it's not great, but it's not that bad. If he falls 35, he's like a top 15 to 20 player at 35. So I'd start there. You know, to me, at some point, someone's going to be like, yeah, he's just too good. Yeah, I'm sorry. I have to take this kid. You know, there are people in that range. Donovan Ezeroakou, if I said that correctly, out of BC, is a guy who, you know, is more of like a, and of course, the Titans have done all right at Boston College. Yep. And another guy right next to similar size, kind of like dimensions to a Landry. You know, obviously, we've talked some about Landon Jackson, which is a very totally different kind of player, but would you know, maybe be someone in the more in the realm of like a, you know, the versatile Denico Autry kind of player. You know, you mentioned Jack Sawyer, but Tuiamalu from Ohio State. Yep. I like him a lot. I mean,
Yates did his latest mock up on him, and he said that there's probably maybe one or two guys in the entire draft that he feels better about being able to come in and be impactful immediately than him.
Yeah, he's one of those interesting cases where it's like, I figured he would be in the NFL last year. He could have been. But, you know, that's the feedback he got was, you know, you're not a first round pick, but man, he's going to make plays. That's all the guy does. Now, I think Jack Sawyer is good too. You know, so if you did the trade back thing, like if Jack Sawyer really is falling, I think you could do a lot worse than that guy a little later, you know, than where we're talking. We're talking about actually taking someone at 35. And I think, you know, those are, I think, the main guys. You can then you get into like, you know, Squirtin from Texas A&M.
Yep.
The whole thing with him is like measurables, amazing production out there. Jordan Bertram, Oregon is I mean, there's a lot of players. A lot of and I do think, you know, if you do move down to, I don't know how, don't know what that means exactly, like how far I mentioned Josiah Stewart from Michigan also, but if you move down, how far are you moving down? You know, if you're, I mean, I think you're going to be able to get a good player at edge, a good player at edge and a good player at receiver. Probably, I don't know. It seems to me like edge might be a little safer to go down and still feel good about who you're picking
What do you
than
make?
receiver.
So we got this text earlier in the show before we started discussing edge rusher from Kelton, and he says, "Was just thinking about the Titans and if they should go after Trey Hendrickson, it would fill a huge need. What are your thoughts on that?" Like Hendrickson, to this point, has not been re-signed by Cincinnati. Now we'll see what ends up happening on that front and if he gets the big deal in Cincinnati. But obviously they've signed their wide receivers in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. If Hendrickson ends up shaking loose at some point here, Joe, would that be something you would do at this stage if you're the Titans, given the fact that, number one, he has led the NFL in sacks over the last 2 years, but he is also 30 and will be 31 coming up in December. Based on where this roster is and the money that we think that he would command, would you be interested in that if you're the Titans?
Interested, yes, because you know it's always in this league, it's always okay, what you are right now, you could be at the bottom right now. Yeah, you should be in the middle of the pack right away. You know, you should always expect that. And so if you have a one good off season at the bottom of the league, you should be able to get to the middle of the pack. So if you get to the middle of the pack that quickly, which happens all the time, happens every single year in this league, then why can't you get take another step from there? And is he still going to be really good? Is he going to be a great player by then? Is he going to be a great player in 2 years and 3 years? If so, why not have a great player? You know, it doesn't seem to match up. I get it. A lot of people would probably say that. This is a bad team. Why are you paying so much for someone that's more of a move for a team that's in their window? Again, you need great football players. You ideally get them in the draft and you pay them rookie wages and you build that way. But I think any chance you have to add a great football player, you should be serious about doing it in this league. So I would say thumbs up.
We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll take your best and worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Do want to pass along, there is a tornado warning that has been issued for Lewis, Maury, Southwestern Williamson, and Hickman counties. So a new tornado warning as of a couple minutes ago that has been issued for Lewis, Maury, Williamson, and Hickman counties in Tennessee. So make sure you're aware of that if you're either at the house or if you're out and about this morning making your way into work. We do have some active tornado warnings here in the Mid-States. So we'll keep you updated on that as best we can throughout the show here today. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025, 1063, The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week now on Robbie and Rex Road
on ESPN
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
You believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle, it's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe Rex Road, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, both of my things are things I've mentioned this week, but you know, it happens. My best is Steph Curry with a cool 52, 12 threes in a win at Memphis for the Golden State Warriors. Every once in a while, he just needs to be the best best thing in sports, because it's just, you know, yeah, don't miss an opportunity to watch this guy while he's still playing. And also, don't look now, but the Golden State Warriors, who moved up to the 5 seed and might be a little bit dangerous come the playoffs. I'm just saying, just a fair warning. My worst, I'm going to go back to yesterday's rant. I'm still bothered. I understand. You know, I'm sure the lawyers there probably told McAfee to not say a thing. You know, really. I mean, realistically, when something like this happens, that's what the lawyers are going to tell you. Do not admit anything, whatever. But it still just bothers me that it's just like ignored. And again, I missed the whole thing. And if you missed what I'm talking about, you know, I'm not going to rehash the whole thing. But Pat McAfee just being a complete dolt and needs to be put in check by someone at some point. That's my worst thing in sports.
Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Yeah, Robbie, I don't know if you saw this, but it's a really cool story. I know I've watched a few videos about his journey so far and trying to come back, but Gabe Landeskog is really close to coming back, and I believe it was Eric Johnson yesterday who just got reacquired by the team at the trade deadline, says it's when, not if, he comes back this season. So that's a pretty cool sign. I mean, he had a massive injury back in the playoffs a few years ago, ended up finishing it out, and then now he's been on that journey back to, I guess, close to 100%, but pretty cool to see that. But my worst in sports this week also, just a quick mention, Ja Morant getting more attention for anything gun-related is just ridiculous. I mean, look, it's just got to stop, man. Like, it should be simple to him. Just stop with anything gun-related. Just come on now. Really?
My best thing in sports is the St. Louis Blues. They've won 10 in a row. And it feels like this happens every year in the NHL, where some team randomly just gets on fire toward the end of the year. Last year it was the Predators when they had, you know, the 18-game point streak. The Blues are going nuts right now. They, you know, they've beaten the Predators 3 times during this streak. It looked like the streak was coming to the end the other night against Detroit, and they tied it up in the final minute and then won it in overtime. So they've won 10 in a row. Like, I still don't know exactly how dangerous that they're going to be come playoff time. I guess we'll find out, but it looks like they're definitely going to make the playoffs, and the streak they're on right now is pretty incredible. So good job by Jim Montgomery, who was fired by the Bruins, and that's not really helped the Bruins, and he's come in and looks like he's going to be a good coach for St. Louis for a long time. So the St. Louis Blues, my best thing in sports. My worst thing in sports, I've got a combo, Joe. I'll start with the Atlanta Braves, who have started their baseball season 0-7. They are 0-7. Now, granted, right now they're playing the Dodgers, which almost shouldn't count this year in the MLB. The Dodgers are 8-0. They put together this ridiculous roster. There probably needs to be a salary cap in Major League Baseball, but that's a discussion for a different day. So I understand the Dodgers are an absolute machine, but they've started their season off as poorly as you could start it. Not only do you have the 0-7 record if you're the Braves, but Profar, the guy you went and signed this offseason, immediately gets popped for PEDs and is going to be out 80 games. So it's an absolute nightmare of a start to the season for the Atlanta Braves. And I also, you know, unrelated to the Ja Morant stuff that Kieser brought up, I'll throw in the Grizzlies in general. They fired their coach. They've lost 3 games in a row since firing their coach. And they fired their coach right before the playoffs in the NBA. Like, it's one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. And look, I don't pretend to know the inner workings of what's going on with the Memphis Grizzlies. I have no idea if that coach was a total pain in the butt to be around, Taylor Jenkins. But I've never seen, I don't know if I've ever seen a team do this, Joe. Like, right in the middle of a playoff race, just fire their coach when the calendar's flipping to April. It's not going well for them.
It's not. It's weird. To me, you only do something like that if, like, something huge happens. You know, something huge behind the scenes, whether it's like an HR thing or just like, I don't know, a fight between him and Ja Morant or something. You're like, okay, well, we can't carry on with this relationship, so we have to make a choice. And obviously, you're always going to choose, you know, your star player. But it doesn't appear that anything like that happened. So, very weird situation. And, yeah, not going well. And, by the way, the Blues, kind of, what was it, about 6 years ago, a certain Blues team kind of got rolling here too. Hopefully this one, if they continue into the postseason, doesn't have a cheesy 80s song that we have to listen to a million times if they go on a run.
You're not a huge Gloria fan?
I mean, you know, all due respect to Laura Branning. I mean, she's better than Creed, but no.
Why's Creed got to take, Josh? That's just an unnecessary shot right there.
Well, that's my – if you ask me to rip a musical artist, then Creed is going to be like, that's the floor. So, like, is it above the bar of Creed? Yes, Laura Branning
Rocks Road.
Is. Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
William from Madison says, the best is the Torpedo Bats. A lot of discussion about the Torpedo Bats this week in Major League Baseball. The worst is Vanderbilt baseball. Offensive power and average, they're last in the SEC for both. Unfortunately, the whispers of Tim Corbin that the game is passing him by are getting louder. This is from William from Madison on the text line. Joe, your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think that's a little strong about the game passing him by, but I will say that, you know, I mean, he's known the offensive, the need to get, you know, better offensively, and it is disappointing, you know, that they so far it hasn't been able to be good enough for them. They have a lot of pitching. But again, when you talk about the game passing him by, I want you to go back through the last few recruiting classes, look at who they recruited, look who didn't end up coming to campus and how many home runs they'd be hitting. That's the problem that they've had, is that they have not been able to actually get some of their top recruits to campus who in particular specifically power hitters. So yeah, you have to adjust if you're Tim Corbin, but the game passing him by, I think he understands the importance of, you know, that's the way the game is played now and that he has to have more power. I mean, he said it many times on the record.
Joey from Bellevue says the best is Alex Ovechkin chasing down Gretzky's record. I got more to say about that coming up at 7:45. So I will get into the great chase coming up at 7:45 today here on the program. We're going to get into the Predators coming up next. We brought up Andrew Brunette yesterday. Lots of passionate thoughts from Predators fans on the idea of what if Andrew Brunette is back as head coach of the Predators next year. We'll continue that discussion coming up next. Again, there is a tornado warning that is active in our area. Lewis, Maury, Williamson, and Hickman counties are under a tornado warning at the moment. So make sure that if you're in those areas that you're aware you're where you need to be. But wanted to pass that along. We do have an active tornado warning for Lewis, Maury, Williamson, and Hickman counties in Tennessee. We'll keep you updated on the weather throughout the program as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.